Tuesday, May 17th, 2005, and we're here today for a work session on the Oregon State Library. So I'll open a work session on House Bill 5115, which is the budget bill for the Oregon State Library. Ms. Brown, please take us through this.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, the Oregon State Library held their hearing before the Joint Committee in early May, and the bill was passed out of subcommittee. So essentially what we'll be asked to do this morning is repass this bill with a couple of slight amendments. By way of overview, State Library has three primary program areas, library development, talking book and braille, and services to government research and electronic services, as well as an administrative program. There was considerable discussion in the joint committee about the talking book and braille program and the support for that program, and you'll see some of those recommendations as I walk through. Essentially, the recommendation that had come from the subcommittee was five adjustments to the governor's budget. One, it was reducing assessments to state agencies by $375,000. The agency was directed to use any other source of non-assessment money to support a portion of the rent for the Talking Book and Braille program. Reduced $70,000 in the government research program to align with historical expenditures. Eliminated a quarter of a vacant position and made the standard adjustments for the PERS and Attorney General rate adjustments. In the proposal that is before you this morning, the additional changes per the House Chair's plan, there is a 3% reduction in the general fund to services and supplies and capital outlay. And then LFO made a $679 error in allocating the PERS adjustment between funding sources. So that is corrected in this recommendation.
Questions or comments on the LFO discussion of the State Library budget? Are there any other issues that we need to discuss related to this budget?
I don't believe so, Madam Chair.
I would accept a motion to accept LFO's recommendations for the budget
move
this to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative March has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion?
I just put it on the record, Madam Chair. This was worked extensively in the subcommittee, and all of the issues around this were discussed before, except for the last minor little adjustment that's correcting.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And Representative March, if you would consent to carry this in full, and I think probably on the floor too, I would much appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close the work session on House Bill 5115. Now we have a switch of answers here.
They had quite a conversation about
it. I work in the University of Iowa Library.
We tried to figure that out, right? So I guess. The amount of PERS savings, but do you think so? Maybe very simple somewhere else.
Good morning.
But not always.
It's not of your nature.
Nah. I'm like a scorpion in the frog, right?
Okay, are you ready?
I am.
We'll open a work session on House Bill 5116, which is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals. Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. For those of you who sat on the subcommittee on natural resources in the joint ways and means process, this will probably look pretty familiar to you. This is the budget for the Land Use Board of Appeals, and it's identical to the budget that was passed out of that joint subcommittee with one exception, and that is that it includes package 811, which is a 3% reduction in the agency services and supplies per the House co-chair's direction. So if you look at the memo that I've distributed to you, you'll see that the LFO recommended budget is $1,281,180 general fund and $64,694 other funds for a total of $1,345,874 and six FTE. Just briefly, the other budget recommendations that LFO has is to make something of a technical adjustment in package 090, which would shift some funding for a paralegal position back to general fund from other funds to achieve an intended 65%, 35% split in the funding sources that support that position and ensure an adequate ending other funds balance to cover publications costs. And also package 801, which is the adjustment for the PERS rate decrease. With that, Madam Chair, unless anybody has some questions.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendations? I might add also to the members that are joining us from the Education Subcommittee that the budget for LUBA was worked very significantly in the Natural Resources Subcommittee. So we've kind of slogged through all these issues. And if no one has any questions, I will accept a motion to approve the recommended bill amendments from according to the LFO recommendation.
Make that motion.
I have the motion. Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. You want to talk a little bit about the performance measures?
Yes, Madam Chair, I provided to you the legislatively adopted performance measures for 2005-07 form that you've probably seen for other agencies. Again, the Joint Subcommittee previously reviewed the agency's performance measures and found that they were quite satisfied with them and they requested no changes. And so LFO recommends adoption of the performance measure performance measures as presented in the attached report.
And again, committee V's were discussed very lengthily in the Natural Resources Subcommittee. Is there any discussion on the performance measures? I'd accept a motion to approve LFO's recommendation on the performance measures. I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, that motion is carried. And then I would accept a final motion to accept the LFO recommendations and move the bill to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Representative Schaffler, would you consent to carry this in the full committee?
It'd be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you close the work session?
Oh, I better do that. Close the work session on House Bill 5116. Open a work session on House Bill 5117, which is the budget bill for the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, distributed to you a memo regarding House Bill 5117. The attachments include the Orbitz report showing the detail of the budget and the adjustments, a cash flow analysis, and then the legislatively adopted performance measures for 2005-07. And this budget, members, was not worked in the joint committee process. So I'll go over this in more detail than I did with the previous budget. So you see.
So did this go to phase two in your joint committee, or how far did it get?
Madam Chair, it did have its phase two hearings, but we did not do a work session. So the first part of the memo just gives you some historical perspective on the agency's budget and also shows you what the LFO recommended budget level would be. And I would just point out that that recommended budget is $3,923,003 and 21.5 FTE. Now, it is a 9% increase over the 0305 legislatively approved budget, and a slight increase over the governor's budget. There's one adjustment in particular that's driving the increase over the governor's budget, and that is an increase in the cost of fingerprinting from the Oregon State Police. There was an increase as of March 1st of this year from $12 to $28 per applicant. So that does affect this budget.
Well, that was a meaty increase.
And then that's good. Who are we fingerprinting? Criminals?
Teachers.
Or
I'm Chair and Representative Schaffler, the applicants for licensure, so teachers and their educators.
I didn't know that.
Oregon is a late joiner in that. California's doing it back in the 60s, and Oregon joined that later on, but it catches potential criminals from preventing, getting them kept out of the classroom.
Well, that's a good idea. Thank you. I didn't know that.
To continue, Madam Chair, members, so that increase causes a 3.8% increase over the 0305 level, and then the remainder of the growth from the 0305 level is primarily from employee compensation, salaries, and OPE, and then also the addition of 1.5 FTE to the budget. So if you look at the Orbitz spreadsheet in front of you, if you'll turn to page 3 of 5, what I'm recommending is that you go ahead and approve the essential packages 010, 022, and 030 as presented. Those are fairly standard essential packages for things like the PERS bond, which was the cost of which was shifted from S&S to personal services in the 0507 biennium. The agency had some one-time expenditures for data equipment, and that's shown in package 022, and then the standard inflation and other price list adjustments in package 022.
Committee, do you have any questions that you want to ask about the base adjustment packages 010, 022, or 030? I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on these packages.
I would so move.
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Then, members, I would also recommend that you approve package 090, and this is simply a package that recognizes that the historical expenditure pattern is such that it's possible to slightly reduce the agency's limitation and bring it in line with how they have been spending money in various categories and various services and supplies categories. And that would reduce the budget by $44,661.
And Ms. McGlashan, we have a couple of people on the committee that aren't don't have a lot of experience in the budget arena. Could you give a very brief explanation of what expenditure limitation is all about?
Sure, Madam Chair. What that does is, if you give an agency like other funds expenditure limitation or federal funds expenditure limitation, regardless of the amount of revenues that an agency may receive from those sources, it just establishes a cap on how much of those sources the agency can spend, thus the terminology expenditure limitation.
So it is essentially then a tool that the legislature can use to make sure that the budget that we put in place is what's conformed to by capping the spending at the budget level.
Correct. Madam Chair, if you didn't do that for these types of agencies, such as TSPC, if you didn't give them any limitation, then whatever money that they took in through their licensing and other fees, they could just spend without any control on that.
Representative Shaw.
And I'm all for that. If in the interim they have spent all their money and there's a big money pile of money in the fund, can they come here to the board and make a request?
Madam Chair and Representative Shoffer, that's exactly correct.
Okay.
So we have a recommendation in package 090 to reduce the expenditure limitation by just over $44,000. I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on package 090.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Then, members, the next package would be package 101, and this is called the public service package, and this would add expenditure limitation of $235,408 for three permanent positions, three FTE, and this would help the agency continue improvements that they've made this biennium in the customer service area and also address some clerical and disciplinary workload issues and finally provide administrative support to certain staff and also the commission. 1.5 FTE of the total of three FTE are currently limited duration positions, so this package would enable them to continue those positions and increase the half-time position. And the package also reclassifies a position that has increased oversight of the agency's information systems, budgeting, and human resources activities. If you flip over to page 4 of 5, you'll see the LFO recommendation. And what I'm recommending is that you go ahead and approve the package, but modify it in a few ways. First, modify it for the PERS rate decrease. And that would reduce the package by $1,261 other funds. And then go ahead and approve the reclassification of the support supervisor to a principal executive manager B, and approve the establishment of the public service representative position, which is one of the limited duration positions this biennium, and make that a permanent position, because I believe the agency has demonstrated an ongoing need for that position. But with the other two positions, what I'm recommending is that you make them limited duration positions for 0507, because I believe the agency's workload may change by the end of the 0507 biennium in ways that they may need to re-look at those two positions and see if they're still appropriate for the activities that the agency is carrying out.
With reference to the public service representative, when was that position added?
Madam Chair, to the best of my recollection, it was in the 03-05 biennium. Prior to that, in fact, the agency was using overtime and temporary staff to meet the agency's workload needs. And, in fact, last session we stripped the budget of the overtime and the right and the temp services to add this position, and I think in 0103 those two areas of the budget totaled about $90,000, and in this budget to continue the public service representative it would be about $80,000 for the biennium.
This is getting off the track slightly, but is there a performance measure that gauges the customer satisfaction or some way that we can see whether this is actually fulfilling what we intended it to do?
Madam Chair, as I'm sure you're aware, all agencies are required to have now a standard customer satisfaction performance measure, and this agency also will see in their performance measure report that I've provided to you today, you'll see that one is also being proposed as an addition, and it would cover things such as customer satisfaction with, I believe, timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, expertise, and information availability.
I recall during the discussions in the last biennium about adding this position that there was an issue around customer satisfaction because people that were there wasn't help available to them when they were calling in and there were problems with getting calls returned. And so I'm assuming that in as you analyze the budget that there was information brought forward that showed that this position was having the desired impact on customer service.
Madam Chair, that's correct. I'd point out that at one point the agency was about 1,500 emails behind, and they get about 75 emails a day. And with the addition of this position, they're still behind in responding to their emails, but it's at any given point in time, it's about 50. Now, part of that is because with the additional position, one of the reasons why they made such a drastic improvement in their backlog of emails is that people who weren't getting a response the first time kept trying, you know, two and three times. And so by adding this position, that they've not only cleared up the actual backlog, but they've gotten rid of some of the redundant requests for information. They still have some issues with their peak workload during the summer hours. They have a fairly old phone system. This position won't necessarily help with that, but they are looking into replacing their phone system, and will probably be back next session, if not sooner, for a request to do that, and also continue to improve the customer satisfaction. They have informed me that they were about, I think, 7 days in terms of 7 days out in terms of responding to emails and phone calls, and right now they're at about 3.5 days, and their goal is to respond within 24 hours to emails and phone calls.
Representative Schaaf.
Thank you. Madam Chair, everybody's correspondence with government's important, but this email business, you all get them. Some of them aren't worthy of a response. How do they screen this? I mean, are they mandated to respond individually to every single one of these emails? I can't believe they're all worthy or merit a response.
Madam Chair and Representative Schaaffler, the agency is in the audience if you'd like to have.
I
can't answer that
here.
Question for you. I'm sorry, but they are available if you want to have them come up and respond to that. I assume that there's some sort of prioritization like with most people, you know.
Because, Madam Chair, forgive me, but there's some folks who sit around a computer with nothing better to do but to email off to people. And
that's only to you.
They get the same kind of email that we get.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I thought you answered every one of them. I do.
Representative Mark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the big workloads is continuing education requirements and checking to see if my Iowa credential is good in Oregon or my California credential is good in Oregon, so there's a lot of communication going on about that kind of thing.
But there's also a lot of issues related to teachers being in conformance with the No Child Left Behind Act. I know when we discussed this 2 years ago, there was a lot of scurrying going on trying to help the system cope with all of that.
Right.
Madam Chair, just for the record, those are all valid, and I'm all for that. Out of 1,500, I'm just curious how many of them. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And the other question I had was around the two positions that you're recommending remain limited to
duration.
Yeah. What do those positions do?
Madam Chair, one would continue to do what it's doing now, but on an expanded level, and that includes being involved with cash receiving. There was a Secretary of State Audits Division report that came out that noted that the agency did not have the proper separation of duties and therefore didn't have the proper internal controls necessarily regarding cash receipts. And so that position was approved, or a halftime position, to address that issue, as well as doing scanning of documents so that those documents are available to all staff. And what they're doing right now, as I understand it, is that scanning primarily takes place not at the front end when the documents come in, and that's what the agency would like to move to. And one of the reasons why I'm recommending that this be limited duration, well, there are two primary reasons. One is that I recognize that to get everything to the front end, it's going to be an increase in workload because they'll need to keep up with what they're doing now as well as move everything to the front end. But that should, that workload should go away after a while because then everything will just be scanned as it comes in at the front end. The other issue has to do with the reseeding. The agency is proposing, and this doesn't have to do with the internal control issue as much as the agency's proposal to move all their licensees to a 5-year renewal cycle. And some are now on a 3-year renewal cycle, and some are now on a 5-year renewal cycle. Well, if you have them all move to a 5-year renewal cycle, theoretically, you should have less workload because you're not having those 3-year renewals coming in as often, obviously. And so, therefore, my recommendation is to continue that as limited duration to see how the workload plays out over the next couple of years.
And I just had another thought. Because we have people that have not got a lot of experience in the budget arena, could you explain the difference between a permanent position and a limited duration position?
Sure. Madam Chair, I think the permanent position is probably pretty self-explanatory. You hire them and they're there until they.
That position continues in the budget, so the next time this budget is presented, that position will be in the base budget.
That's correct. The limited, thank you for pointing that out. The limited duration position, however, is only for a 2-year period. So when an agency's budget is built for the next cycle, that position is phased out. And if they want to continue that position, either again, as a limited duration position or a permanent position, they have to put that in a policy package. And that's what you're seeing here for these two that are currently limited duration in this biennium.
Are there any further questions on policy option package 101? I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on policy package 101.
I would so move, Madam Chair, with the modifications as laid out.
Any discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
And then, members, the next package is called a technology package, and this simply adds expenditure limitation to replace obsolete computers. These computers are at least 5 years old, and the agents 5 years old, and the agency has updated them as often as they can, and it just doesn't appear that they have the memory capability and technological capability anymore to meet the agency's needs. And the limitation would also allow the agency to replace some laser printers and one server, which would provide for an internal backup plan to protect the data. And this has been reviewed by IRMD. LFO is recommending that you go ahead and approve the package, but modify it for projected savings from the Smart Buy program, and that would reduce the package by $4,792, so the total package would be $23,708.
Questions on package 102?
What?
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. 65%, that is 65% of X equals 15, then? Is that X being the total number of computers they have?
Madam Chair and Representative Jensen, that's correct.
Okay.
Further questions? I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on package 102.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I substitute the word legislator for computer. It reads pretty good that way, too.
Is it right?
Put legislator, we got computer.
Replace about 65% of
it. Lacking in memory.
Please proceed. Thank you, Madam Chair. The next package, members, is package 801. This is the final package. And this is called the LFO Analyst Adjustments Package. And this basically is just some various technical adjustments. This would decrease the essential budget level by $11,829, other funds limitation for the PERS rate decrease. It would also decrease the budget by $15,868 for the Attorney General hourly rate decrease. And then offsetting those decreases is actually an increase in the budget by $136,000 other funds expenditure limitation. And that is for an increase in the fingerprinting fees charged by the Oregon State Police. And as I mentioned earlier, that's going from 12, or already has gone from 12 to $28 per applicant. So the total recommended package is $108,303 other funds expenditure limitation. I am recommending that you request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the $136,000 because it's not certain that OSP will actually be able to get legislative approval of the fee increase. They've got it for this biennium, but they need to have it ratified in order for it to continue into 05-07. So if it's not ratified by the Legislative Assembly, then the TSPC will not experience that increase and won't need the limitation.
The committee members, just as a matter of getting people a little bit more familiar with other funds budget, Ms. McGlashan has brought in a cash flow analysis for the agency. And I personally have found these things to be very useful in gauging whether the ending fund balance that the agency is asking for is the right amount of money to carry it through the highs and lows of the cash flow during the year. So, Ms. McGlashan, if you would indulge us, could you kind of step us through the scenarios that you have here and, so the committee members can become a bit familiar with the use that a cash flow analysis has?
So, Madam Chair and members, if this, everybody's got this in front of them, step you through this. It just says TSPC cash flow analysis at the top of the page, and there are two pages, front and back. There are actually six scenarios. The first scenario assumes, I should give you a little bit of history, in that the agency, TSPC, is seeking a fee increase this biennium. It has certain fees set in statute. Not all of those fees are at the current statutory limit. But they would like to get those statutory limits raised this session, although they wouldn't necessarily use them for the next biennium. So just that background to put this all into the proper context. Scenario one would assume that they get no fee increase and they don't even increase their fees to the current statutory limit. It also assumes that they don't move the three-year licenses to five-year licenses, and it also assumes that they experience the OSP fee increase without any ability to recover those costs. And you can see there are two lines for each scenario. The first being for the 05-07 biennium, the second for the 07-09 biennium. You can see in that first set of data that by the end of the 05-07 biennium, they would be in a negative ending balance situation.
Representative Schultz?
The agency experiences the state police fee increase. They can't ask the applicant to pay for it. So the agency has to pay the state police, but they don't get it reimbursed from the applicant. Is that without ability to recover costs?
Madam Chair and Representative Schaffler, currently they are limited to $42 for what they can charge the applicant. And that is broken down between paying $12 for OSP. There's a fee to the FBI, and then there's a small amount that they retain to cover their costs relating to administering the fingerprinting activity. So if OSP's fee goes up, they would not necessarily be able to recover that because they're limited by statute.
Right, okay, I'm looking.
Charge.
Thank you. Representative Jensen.
Thank you. These processed through the FBI data bank. Is that what you were saying? You said there's an FBI fee.
That's correct.
Does it require OSP to be the fingerprinting agency then to do this, like in order to get it into that to the FBI?
I believe that there has to be certain portals that the FBI will go through, and that in Oregon it is the Oregon State Police.
And Madam Chair and Representative Jensen, after you asked the question, I noticed that the executive director of the agency was nodding. That you're correct.
The body language is consistent with the answers that
right.
I'm getting from the. Very good. I mean, are we still on 801?
Yes.
Yes. I'm doing a little quick arithmetic here, and the decrease of $15,868 Attorney General fee at actually a reduction of that at about $8 an hour. It looks to me like we have a full time AG position with this agency.
Madam Chair and Representative Jensen, if you mean by that, you know, what they're paying to the AG, they don't actually have any AG on staff, obviously. No AG position. But do you mean by the fees that they actually, or the amounts that they actually pay to the AG for services?
I'm looking at this, and it's looking like we've got something in the neighborhood of 1,900 plus hours of AG expenses. If we're saving $15,868 by an $8 reduction, and that would equate out to, without doing all of the arithmetic, something like a full-time position. Now, I didn't say they have a full-time position allocated or on, you know, in their staff, but it comes out to. And I'm curious about the need for this much Attorney General time. And I'd be happy to.
We would be happy to have the agency director come forward and talk to us about this.
Well, yeah.
And anyone else that she wants to bring?
And I'm sorry, Vicki, that I didn't. Excuse me, Madam Chair. I'm sorry I didn't bring this up in phase two.
Madam Chair, good morning, members of the committee. For the record, Vicki Chamberlain, Executive Director, Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. We have an AG assigned to us. I was actually back there doing my own math. I sign off on the monthly bills. And Larry's telling me that an annual AG is $4,000. I sign those bills, and we pay on average $7,000 to $10,000 a month to the AG's office. Monthly, and these services cover the assigned AG and supplemental AG and research staff. The AG advises us on all the discipline cases, advises us at every meeting, advises us on the commission's decisions on those, and also represents us at hearings when disciplines have been appealed. So we have to pay for him just like we would a private attorney. We just get a much better rate. We have to pay for his preparation time, research time, et cetera. So,
but this figure that we're looking at here, again, if I'm doing the arithmetic poorly, it would look like something like $16,000 a month that you'd be paying in total AG costs, based on the arithmetic that I'm seeing here.
We do not pay $16,000 a month. The highest bill that I've signed off on in the last year was a $12,000 month in 1 month, which was an extraordinarily long time.
Are you considering that this is a 2-year budget?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Any follow-up questions?
No, I'm fine with it. I just looking like a... this is guaranteed annual employment for the Attorney General's office, so I'm commenting on it. I'm not commenting about the agency.
Apparently for one person it is.
It's not the only budget.
Any other questions while we have the director here related to package 801? Thank you very much. Okay, let's continue working through this cash flow analysis.
So, Madam Chair, members, I think I stopped with pointing out that under Scenario 1, by the end of the 05-07 biennium, they would have a negative ending balance, and then it just gets worse
gets
for
worse
them.
As it goes
right,
along.
In 07-09. Okay. Then in Scenario 2, this is where if they increased their fees using their current statutory limits, and then they move all licenses to the five-year cycle, but they're still in a situation where they can't recover the OSP fee increase. You can see, even in that situation where they wouldn't have that ability to recover those costs from OSP, that they're actually okay at the end of the 05-07 biennium. They have about 5 months worth of expenditures in their ending balance, and a prudent ending balance, and it does depend on the type of, you know, agency that you're looking at, but a prudent ending balance would be about 3 to 6 months. So they're not in a bad situation by the end of the 05-07 biennium under that scenario. But again, if you look out to the end of the 07-09 biennium, you'll see that they do wind up in a negative ending balance situation without raising their current statutory fee limits.
Okay.
If you turn the page, you'll see that in Scenario 3, this is a scenario where they would be able to get a bill passed this session that would allow them to increase their statutory fee limits. Again, they'd issue all the licenses for 5 years. They'd still be in a situation, however, where they wouldn't necessarily be able to recover the cost increase from OSP. So in that scenario, you'll see that they are fine both in the 05-07 biennium and actually in the 07-09 biennium, although by the end of that period, they do drop to just slightly under a two-month two months worth of expenditures in their ending. Moving on to Scenario 4, we're back to no increase, not even to the current statutory limits, no change in the duration of licenses, but they can recover their fee increase from OSP. You'll see in this scenario, by the end of the 05-07 biennium, although they're not in a negative ending balance situation, they're only at about a half a month's worth of expenditures in their ending balance, and that's pretty low.
07-09 looks pretty mean.
And then 07-09, you're right, just gets worse.
Okay.
So then in Scenario 5, this would be where they could increase their fees to the current statutory limits, or would increase their fees to the current statutory limits, issue all their licenses for 5 years, and again, in this case, be able to recover the increased costs from OSP. So by the end of the 05-07 biennium, in this scenario, they have an adequate ending balance, almost 6 months worth of expenditures in that ending balance. But again, by the end of the 07-09, you'll see that it's next to nothing. And finally, Scenario 6. That is assuming Senate Bill 49 or something like it passes so that they can raise their statutory fee limits, that all licenses would be issued for 5 years and then they're able to recover the costs from the OSP fee increase. And you can see in both 05-07 and, or by the end of 05-07 and the end of 07-09, they have a positive ending balance. And in fact, the ending balance at the end of 05-07 is quite healthy. So,
Representative Schaffner.
It's $42 now, and what would it be under this Senate bill? To come up with this ending balance?
Madam Chair and Representative Schaffler, the fee increase from OSP has gone from 12 to 28, so that's a difference of 16, so it would be at least 58 to allow them to recover the cost. Now, Senate Bill 49, and I may need to have the director come up and correct me if I'm not.
Is that one of the accurate packages of bills that's being referred back to the desks this evening?
It is, Madam Chair. It is, I believe, on the agenda for the Joint Ways and Means Committee this afternoon to be referred back to the Senate and then referred to probably the Senate Special Committee on Budget from there. I don't believe in that bill, though. There's actually a $58, if you will, cap. I believe the language may say that it allows TSPC the ability to recover its costs, or that may even be in another fee or another bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Vicki Chamberlain, we didn't, in our amendments for the fee bill in Senate Bill 49, put the fee for the fingerprinting. That's been in another statute. When they enacted our fingerprinting statutes, they created new language around that and put our fee cap in that. So the language for that is actually right now in House Bill 2157, which is the big state police fingerprint bill that went first through House General Government, and if I'm not mistaken, is now on its way to House Judiciary. The amendments that were adopted in General Government remove our fingerprint fee cap and allow us to recover the full cost of fingerprints, so that if the state police has another increase, we're not stuck with the cap. But we would charge $58 to recover our costs. That leaves a $6 administrative fee for the agency, and all the rest goes directly out to state police and FBI.
Follow-up question?
Okay.
You might just want to
Sure. So, Madam Chair, if I can just summarize what we've gone over. One of the reasons why I highlighted in gray scenarios 2 and 5 was just to point out to you that at least if the agency can increase its fees to its current statutory limits, and they issue all their licenses for 5 years, whether or not they're able to recover the their costs for the OSP fee increase, at least for the 05-07 biennium, they wind up with about a 5 to 6 months' worth of expenditures in their ending balance. And so they are actually okay. But, again, for the 07-09 biennium,
they would be required action in the session of the legislature.
I believe that's true. If they don't get a fee bill passed this session, they for sure would need to come back next session and pursue that.
So in the legislative arena, this is for the biennium that we're budgeting for, we appear to have some ways out of this without having to worry about increasing the fees. Okay, let's continue on here then. And committee members, if you have any questions about how this is constructed and what the scenarios are that are being run out, don't hesitate to ask, because this is something that is very useful in determining what the big picture look is for these other funded agencies. Representative Shaw?
Just for the record, Madam Chair, I've been pretty negative on fee increases this year, but of all the fee increases I'd be willing to support, it's one that keeps freaks out of the classroom. So that's a pretty simple thing for me to support, if we get that far.
Okay, well, let's see where we go, because I think we're going there. Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one other thing that I would point out in terms of the ending balance. I do want to mention that, you know, this assumes the LFO recommended budget in these scenarios. And so it assumes that the agency doesn't have any significant unforeseen costs for which they'd need to come back to the emergency board, like maybe a significant AG bill or something that would throw their budget out of whack. So I just wanted to put that on the record. And with that, Madam Chair, I think we were at package 801.
Okay.
And
any more questions on package 801?
I would move package 801. Do pass recommendation.
Representative March has moved the LFO recommendation on package 801. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Madam Chair, now I would like to direct you back to the memo. On the second page, two sides, so just flip it over. Item D. Because of the increase from OSP for the fingerprinting, the agency will need some supplemental limitation for its 0305 budget. And so what I'm recommending, in addition to the budget level for 0507, is that you include in the bill supplemental language establishing additional other funds expenditure limitation for the 0305 biennium in the amount of $35,000, with the understanding that DAS would unschedule this amount until the agency actually incurs the cost.
And again, can you explain to the members of the committee what scheduling and unscheduling is all about?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the committee, that there is what we call an allotment system in state government, which basically takes an agency's budget and slices it up into quarters, if you will. And when the limitation is available to an agency, it is considered scheduled. And they can spend the money.
Madam Chair, it's a quarterly limitation on how much you can spend.
Right. So there are eight quarters. Okay. And if DAS requires or if the legislature requests that limitation be unscheduled, it simply means that the agency does not have the ability to use that limitation. So it's simply not available to them in the allotment system.
And usually we unschedule it contingent on something happening that'll cause it to be scheduled again. So again, a containment on the level of spending that the agency can have by the legislature or by DAS.
Madam Chair, members, I would just add to that when you adopt the budget, it doesn't reflect that an amount has been unscheduled, so it would not reduce the budget in the bill or in some other document that you might see, but it would be, in this instance, it would be in the text of the budget report.
Any other questions or comments on the supplemental limitation for 0305? I would accept a motion to accept LFO's recommendation on the supplemental limitation.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
And finally, Madam Chair, well, not finally, but next, Madam Chair.
Moving on.
Yeah. In item E, that covers the recommended bill amendment. So what I'm recommending, since House Bill 5117 is a blank bill, that you delete the contents of the original bill and then add language to establish the other funds expenditure limitation of $3,923,003 for the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission for the 2005-07 biennium, and also add language to provide the supplemental expenditure limitation of $35,000 for the 0305 biennium.
Discussions on the LFO recommendation? Accept a motion to move the LFO recommendation into House Bill 5117.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the motion? Objections to the motion? Without objection, that motion is carried.
The next item, Madam Chair, members, are the performance measures. And I provided to you a document entitled Legislatively Adopted Performance Measures 2005-07. Yesterday in the Senate Subcommittee on Education, that subcommittee did not adopt the report for the agency, and instead it directed the agency to appear before the Joint Legislative Audit Committee no later than March 1, 2005 for that committee's review and approval of the agency's performance measures and its targets. So to be consistent with that process, Madam Chair, I would recommend that this subcommittee also provide that directive to the agency.
One of the things I think that I have learned in my personal experiences of working with performance measures is that there is a pretty lengthy and deliberative process that needs to be gone through in order to make sure that the performance measures actually answer the questions that the legislature wants to have answered, and that the agency has the ability to bring the information forward within the systems that it's working with. And I do concur with the Senate committee's recommendation that we move this to the audit committee, because I have personally found that if we have time to mature the discussion, that the information that we end up with more fits our needs in trying to figure out whether these programs are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and also trying to figure out whether when we make investments in the program that we're getting back what we are expecting to get back. So I would urge the committee to accept the LFO recommendation on this and add language to the bill that moves this discussion to the audit committee. Representative Jensen.
Well, how long have these performance measures been in place, Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Vicki Chamberlain, these were established at the beginning of the last biennial budget cycle, so that would have been July 2003.
Madam Chair, can I
follow that?
And from whence were these measures established? From who? Did the agency...
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, the existing performance measures sprung out of my head. I was given a real short amount of time to prepare the budget, and the agency had no performance measures, and we were frantic. So
you were what?
Frantic. We didn't have any performance measures. We had to turn our budget in with performance measures, and so talk to staff and kept in touch with the commission, and we came up with the first round of performance measures. As we had to make our first annual reports and find the systems to measure, it became very clear to us what we could measure, what we couldn't measure, what was worthwhile and what wasn't. We did convene a stakeholder group this biennium interim. They didn't have a lot of input, frankly, into our performance measures, but they did approve our recommendations, and so did the progress board. When they reviewed them, we had 13. They said there were way too many. We need to carve them down for a small agency. And so what we recommended to be deleted, they agreed was very reasonable in light of what we need to measure. And to be perfectly honest, I believe we're going to get the most value out of the new one we have to establish for DAS, which is how quickly we turn around information, how accurate it is, and how satisfied folks are on an outward testing mode with what we do. So right now, by referring us to the Legislative Audit Committee, you'll leave us with our performance measures that we have, the good ones and the bad ones, and then I'm assuming they will adopt any new ones we're asking to adopt.
Well, and having served on that committee a couple of times and worked with agencies on performance measures, it is an opportunity to have a fairly robust discussion about, from the legislative perspective, what the information that the people that sit on this side of the table could most easily or most productively use to gauge the success of the programs, and a forum to have a discussion with the agency about what it's possible to measure and what it's not possible to measure. So I think, I mean, an example I would bring forward is the Public Defense Services Council, which was a new agency that had no performance measures. We spent quite some time working with them over the interim on the performance measures that were put into their budget or proposed to be put in their budget this time. And I think that the measurements in there are a real good go at a start at that. So I would just really caution the panel here today that jumping into performance measures that we think might work is not, in my experience, always the straightest line to the goal, and that there is a lot to be said for having a very deliberative discussion around this and taking some time.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It wasn't my intention for us to get into performance measures and start rewriting them in this committee. I merely was trying to get an idea of the agency's history with these particular performance measures. And I was particularly interested in the fact that the agency had very little time with which to put out their first run of performance measures, having limited but some background information from the director. I would certainly find her very competent and capable of writing meaningful performance measures given the time and resources to do them. So it was simply looking at what is the history and what do we need, to do. No intention to write performance measures sufficient to try to juggle the numbers for this committee.
Did you have further questions that you wanted to ask?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shoffman.
We are the Natural Resources Committee, too. I was wondering if my friend from Pendleton wanted to try and rewrite the Endangered Species Act while we're here.
I'd be delighted.
Okay, very good.
That I think I can do.
Thank you.
Thank you. I might even be able to get it passed on this committee.
I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendations around performance measures.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the motion. Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Madam Chair, we already discussed item 4, which is the fee increase and the cash flow analysis. So now we just need to address item 5, which would be the final motion of the subcommittee to move the bill as amended to the House Special Committee on Budget with a do pass as amended recommendation.
I would accept a motion to move House Bill 5117 as amended to the House Special Budget Committee with a do pass as amended recommendation.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried. I would be glad to move this one in the Budget Committee.
Thank you.
And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 5117. And having no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned.